appreciate the nice words as always. Let me get fired on. All right, church. I didn't have much time. Brother Joe, I think, asked me yesterday if I could bring a devotion. What we did at Salem on the last Wednesday of every month, we had what we called a round table because I had a whole lot longer name for it that I don't even remember it now, but it was the last Wednesday of every month that we drank coffee and ate donuts and just kind of sat around, and I would go through text with them, and it turned out to be a really good time. And that's one of these messages. I added to it quite a bit, but this is where we're going to go to that. If you would, open your Bibles to the 61st Psalm, Psalm 61. This is truly one of my favorite psalms in all of Scripture. When Cecilia and I read our Bibles every morning, we go to the Psalms quite often because, in the morning time, you need a little pick-me-up sometimes. And some of the Psalms will make you extremely happy. Some Psalms will make you extremely sad, some even mad. But these 61, 62, and 63 are truly this triplet of Psalms here that really I love. I remember when Brother Joe came up and preached a revival for us up there, the 63rd Psalm was one that I couldn't get out of my head because I was having some health problems that I had never had heart problems in my life. I was 29 years old and it was scaring me. And I got to the point in that revival where I quoted Psalm 63 verse 3 where it says that thy loving kindness is better than life. Church family, that's a good place to get to. When you can get to the place and say, Lord, to have your love upon me, to know that I am loved by you, is better than life itself. Amen. That's not my message, but I just tell you, that's probably one of my favorite verses of Scripture. But again, the 61st Psalm, and really all three of these Psalms, what the psalmist is going to do is he's going to describe, he's going to portray, he's really going to praise God, not only for His strength and His power, as you know many of these psalms do, not only for His strength and His power is the psalmist going to praise God, he is going to specifically praise God for His strength and His power, specifically regarding how He safeguards, and even more, Brother Danny, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, how He preserves His children, right? How His strength in His power, He enacts that to preserve those in whom He has chosen to set His love upon. Listen, church, there is great comfort to me in knowing that the all-sovereign God of heaven, the all-authoritative, holy God of heaven, who rules and reigns over all the affairs of man, all the processes of the earth, is powerful enough, is caring enough, is loving enough to protect and preserve something so minute as me. Let me read the 61st Psalm and we'll make some comments. The psalm writer says this, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings, Selah. For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto Thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Tonight, as we come to the Lord's table, I really just want to give us an encouragement. That's my whole premise of this message, this talk, this little devotion, to give us an encouragement as we come and face the rest of this week. This is truly one of those texts that needs to be broken up and preached into a message. But let me give you an outline that I've come up with for this 61st Psalm that really could be used for the 62nd and the 63rd.
Let me say this, church. If we are ever going to be contented in this life, if we are ever going to get to the place of contentment in God, in Christ, all of our focuses of everything must be placed upon God. And that is exactly what the psalmist does here. That is exactly what the psalmist does here as he exalts the God of heaven for His attributes, for His persons, for who He is. And not only for who He is, but because of who He is, what that means to the people in which He has set His love upon. First of all, He is the hearer of our prayers. Secondly, He is the hider of His people. Thirdly, He is honest in His preservation. And fourthly, He is holy to be praised, church family. Again, that is a message for another time. That's just an outline that you can write down and preach it sometime yourself. But church, what a great and awesome God we serve. Amen. Church, He is that good. It pays to be a Christian, Faith Baptist Church. There is nothing nor no one that can compare to the one true God of heaven and earth. If I can do anything tonight, I pray that it is exalt the name of the God of heaven. As we come before this table in remembrance of the shed blood and the broken body of our Savior, may we come to this table with exaltation in our hearts, knowing that we are absolutely unworthy to partake. Church, if history has taught us anything, it is that man-made religions come and go. Man-made gods come and go. They come with the seasons. They come with the fads. They rise and fall based on what these so-called gods and so-called religions can do for you. What man and woman really can conjure up in their own minds to make them feel good. You see it all the time and across this globe of all generations. Listen, church, these man-made gods, they rise and fall, but after a while, they are always going to fall. But the one truth that I want you to understand tonight is concerning the one true God of heaven, there is nothing that can compare, and He will never fall. He will never fail. He will never falter. What a privilege it is to be called His child. What a privilege it is to know that the God who created, the God who has saved, the God who is going to not only has created all things, but will consummate all things, is the same God who hears us, is the same God who hides us, is the same God who preserves us. The only one who is worthy of our lives to be laid down before Him. I know this is a devotion, so I'm trying to cut down what I'm trying to say, church. But listen, this same God who created everything is the one who in sovereign love sent His only begotten Son to this earth, who robed Himself in human flesh, who died willingly on the cross at Calvary, applied His precious blood to those in whom He had set forth His love upon. The same one who has cleansed us from every sin. The same one who is at this moment right now interceding on our behalf, is advocating for us. The same one who by His resurrection on the third day has justified us and has welcomed us into the family, into the kingdom. And praise God, He has added us to His church, His true church. And without fail, you remember this. Not only is all that wonderful, your salvation, your conversion, right? Brother Joe taught tremendously on the doctrine of conversion and regeneration this morning. Not only is all that wonderful and glorious, there's nothing you can do to attain any of that. It's a wonderful truth. But even more than that, while you're down here, church, He faithfully safeguards you. He faithfully and unfailingly shows forth His power and preservation over your life every moment of every single day. That's the resolve of the psalm writer here as he gets to his crescendo, as he gets to the climax of chapter number 8 where he says, "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that daily I may daily perform my vows." Literally what he's saying this, church: Lord, you have been so unceasingly faithful to me, to hear me, to hide me, to preserve me. Lord, may my life be laid down for you and you alone in such a way that daily I perform my duty as a Christian. That we remember, as Brother Joe said this morning, we remember what it is to be a Christian. That we don't continue to put on our fake facades. That we don't continue to put on our Christian goggles when we come in here and our blinders, and then take them all off when we get out here. The psalmist is saying, may my life be lived in such a way that daily I perform my duty. That daily I perform my vow unto you, because you are the worthy one. Our prayer should be this, church: Lord, help me to hear when you speak, and help me to walk in obedience unto it in faith. Right? If he's the hearer of our prayers, our prayer should be, Lord, let me hear when you speak, and let me walk in obedience. Lord, help me to rest, as it says there in verse number 2, in the rock that is higher than I. Lord, it goes on to say, you are the strong tower. You are our defense, our tower of defense, impenetrable defense, rock that is higher than I. Lord, you are the rock that is higher than I. You are the shelter and strong tower of the defense. He goes on to say, Lord, your house, your tabernacle is my refuge. Keep me under the cover of your wings. That's the God we serve, church, who is the rock that is higher than I, the strong tower of defense. Our prayer should be, help me to persevere and walk in a way that is pleasing unto you. Why? Because you are the preserver of my life. And always make me, verse 8, to praise thy name forever, because you are worthy of my praise. Wasn't that Brother Nate's prayer just a second ago? My prayer, church, is this: I'm quitting. I told Brother Wade and Brother Nathan back there 15 minutes, and they laughed. And I'm getting closer. It's been 2 weeks since I've preached, so they thought that I'd have a lot to say. But church, my prayer is that everyone in this building is saved. I know that in a congregation such as this, there's many who are not. But I pray that you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed your sin. That the blood of Jesus Christ has washed you white as snow. Because, church, listen, nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin. I pray that you know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, the life, right? This is a devotion. I'm going to be easy tonight. Heaven is not promised to everybody, and not everybody's going to go to heaven. But lost person, hear me say, the Bible does say, you seek Him in faith, He will be found. The Lord is not far. The Lord is not hidden. You repent of your sins, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You make that confession with your mouth, and you bow your face to the Lord God of heaven and earth, who is worthy of your life to be laid down before Him, and He'll save you. The Bible says if you believe that, and you live in accordance with that, you shall be saved. Repent and believe the gospel. Because there is no other way of salvation than to hear the gospel, as you've heard this morning, as you heard tonight, that Jesus Christ robed Himself in human flesh. He stepped into human history. He willingly died on the cross at Calvary. He was substituted in your place, took your sin, nailed it to the cross, died a sacrificial death that you deserved, was buried, third day rose again for your justification, as now has ascended into heaven and awaiting the time in which He calls those back up to Him. As Sister Jessica and Macy just sang about, where faith ends. And you too can know, and you too can profess with the psalmist, that God loves His people. And He is always good. Let me read it again. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. Why? Because He is the worthy one. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings, Selah. For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. That's a good word, church. So will I sing praise unto Thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Amen. We come to this table tonight praying that our hearts have already been prepared to perform our vows. May our hearts now be ready to perform the vow of being a Christian. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we bow. Lord, knowing that You are God, knowing, O God, that we have no hope other than Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that salvation is free, and we know, O God, that salvation is a gift of God. Lord, it is You alone who saves, it is You alone who converts, it is You alone who gives faith and repentance. And we praise Your name here tonight, Lord, because such an unworthy worm as me, Lord, You enlighten my eyes and You save my soul. Lord, I pray that my heart, as well as the ones here who are going to be partaking in Your table, hearts are prepared, O God, that we may perform our vow unto You, knowing that it is only because of You and because of what You have done, Lord, that we are even worthy to sit in this building, to breathe Your air, O God, Lord, to hear Your word and understand it. Lord, what a privilege it is to be called a child of God. What a privilege it is to know that we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, You are so good to us. You are the one who hears our prayers. Lord, You are the hider of Your people. You are the one who preserves us. And, oh God, You are worthy to be praised. And we pray that we have done that here tonight. Lord, You are the one who is worthy of our lives to be laid down before. May we not take for granted and may we not forget what this table is about. And the one who laid His life down on Calvary's cross, stood in our place and took our sin, that we may be seated in the heavenlies eternally. It is You and You alone, O God, who is worthy of our prayers, worthy of our praise, worthy of our lives. Pray that You would forgive us of our sin. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.